In this week's Guthanna Ochtú a Chéan podcast, we hear from Mary Lou MacDonald, Uachtarán Hinn Féin. From her earliest memories in Dublin, hearing about Bobby Sands's death, to this year of reflection 4 decades on, she talks about how the actions of the hunger strikers changed the shape of Irish politics forever, and how their aim of a united Ireland is now closer than ever before.
I turned 12 on the 1st of May in 1981, and Bobby Sands died on the 5th of that month. And I remembered the precise moment when my brother ran out of our front door into the garden to tell me that Bobby Sands had died, that the news had come through. I remember it as clearly as if it was yesterday. And I remember all of that period, the No Wash protest, the images of prisoners in jails, and all of that beamed into your home, you know, as a kid living in Dublin. I remember all of the responses to it, the upset in our household, the upset, the anger, not just in our house, but in amongst our neighbours, as though literally it was yesterday. I remember the absolute vitriol, the intensity of passions against Margaret Thatcher, and the sense almost of, I now know as an adult, what must have felt like helplessness in the face of what was absolute catastrophe. I mean, this was a turn of events that it's hard to describe in modern terms, you know, in contemporary terms, what this was, even though prisoners had died on hunger strike before. Just bear in mind, in 1981, you are in an era of mass television. You don't have the kind of communications that we have now in 2021, but nonetheless, most households have access to television and to some form of modern communication. So news spreads like wildfires, but the images are what I remember most, of just the defiant images coming from in the blocks. And I am a child in Dublin watching this, trying to figure out what on earth is this all about, and not really understanding what it was, but understanding that it was a reflection of the fact that something was very, very wrong. And I think it's the first moment that I recall with clarity as a child, understanding that there was something fundamentally wrong in Ireland. And of course, hearing the conversation amongst the adults, and then witnessing the wave of protest that, by way of response to the deaths of Bobby and then the other nine in turn. So it's still very, very clear. And, you know, I don't think anybody of my age, my generation, was not affected very deeply by that struggle, by that protest, and by those deaths, and the death of Sands in particular, because it was the first. I think I have yet to meet somebody of my age with any interest in politics who doesn't remember where they were when they heard the news, or how they interpreted or understood or didn't understand what had happened as a child. So you can imagine, because living in Dublin, I'm a Dubliner, this is my city, this is where I have grown up, this is where I live and where I live my life. And in some respects, it was a case of living a world away from the war on the streets of Belfast and Derry and right across the six counties. But in another sense, the war, or the troubles as they were called, was the background music to everybody's life, whether you lived in the middle of it or whether you were at a distance. And the prison struggle, the hunger strikes, and then in 1981, how all of this crystallized and the death of the 10 men meant that all of this now was in everybody's front room. It brought the reality of the brutality of the British state on the one hand, and then the level of sacrifice from the volunteers on the other, right into your home. There was no escaping this. There was no walking away or turning away from this story. It was there, and it was with us. And yes, I remember it very, very clearly. The hunger strike and the 10 deaths changed everything in real terms. And even for people who might not think, you know, that they were personally affected or that their politics was influenced, the truth is that it shook the system. The 10 volunteers shook the system to its core. I mean, it brought the Irish struggle again to international attention, internationalized the cause of Irish freedom again, sparked in many, many families and communities who weren't directly at the coalface of the conflict, but a real sense again of that struggle and that clash with Britain and the reality of occupation and colonialism and all of that. Because, you know, it's only very, it's you only have to barely scratch the surface really of any of us in truth, right across the island, just to get minimally beneath the surface of us, and you find an experience and a memory of struggle and colonialism and so on. So it touched on that. And it also, we now know, and maybe only with the benefit of hindsight, it said loudly and clearly, game on for the Republican struggle to really engage with the political processes, the mainstream political processes in the North, but also in the South. That was a huge, that was an absolute game changer. And in fact, and I hope my history stays well with me here, there was an influence even on the outcome of elections and a Haughey formed government at the time. So it had very direct, palpable, immediate consequences. But the real legacy and the real political impact, of course, has been much longer term. So take me. I mean, a woman born in Dublin to a family of Republican stock. But our family's relationship, for example, with the IRA goes back to the 1920s. And there's lots of people, lots of families like mine. People and families who may not have seen, you know, where do you fit? Like, what's your part? What do you bring? What's the part that you play, to use Bobby Sands' own formula of words? And of course, Sinn Féin grew to be and is the vehicle for everyone, including those of us who did not grow up in the middle of the armed struggle. And that's a profound thing, you know, because it, in a very direct way, the events of 1981 and the consequences that flowed from it resulted in the building of an old and a traditional, but also a very new and very cutting edge political movement, political machine that actually opened the doors and invited the widest section of Republican, of nationalists, of progressives, of socialists, of feminists, to be part of advancing this struggle and finishing it out. So it was an amazing turn of events. I mean, even quite aside from the history of 1981 and the loss of those 10 volunteers in and of themselves, that is the story of the utmost heroism and struggle and real courage in the face of the enemy. But by extension from it, the more extraordinary thing is what it fostered decades later. And that's an incredible thing. And in fact, I think that you can draw parallels with, for example, the execution of the 1916 leaders. Tragic events. I mean, and again, courage in the face of the enemy, you know, unparalleled until 1981, perhaps, and extraordinary in their own right, but all the more extraordinary because it fostered something beyond itself. And of course, the rising led to the surge for independence, for the 1918 Sinn Féin election, and all that flowed from it. So it was seismic. I mean, it was of those proportions, and not just for Republicans. Things changed for everyone. This changed Irish politics, and it changed the course of Irish history. So of course, for me, the same as anyone else, of course that made a difference. Sinn Féin became and has become the platform for people like me, activists like me, to be fully engaged and participate and to play our part, however great, however small, in this historic struggle. So that was absolutely and is absolutely momentous. And I'm very conscious now, in the position that I now occupy, that we owe a huge debt of honour to those volunteers and to all of the activists of that time for what they did and for what they achieved. 40 years in historical terms is the blink of an eye. It's not even a moment in the bigger landscape of history and the history of Ireland. And remembering the story is about understanding who we are, what happened, why things happened, and also provide for us the rationale and the pathway for how we move forward. So commemoration and memory and remembrance is important to honour those that have gone before, and particularly to honour our patriot dead and those that made the ultimate sacrifice, and their families, by the way, and their communities. And that's really important in and of itself, but it's not just that. Remembrance also is the key to progress. Remembrance is the key to understanding and context and experience and accessing the wisdom of years that are gone by. And I know from direct experience from young activists now in the party, I know from my own kids, who are now young adults, that they relate to the story of the hunger strikers and what happened in a way that is very, very immediate. The story of those 10 men, the story of the 5 demands, the story of prisoners facing down their jailers, prisoners facing down their oppressors, and what that generated outside of the direct prison struggle is absolutely powerful. And it's a powerful way to explain or to give access to an activist from any generation as to what is at the core of the Irish question and the Irish struggle. So it's really, really important for all of those reasons. And of course, human events and history and stories and remembrance, you know, are open to multiple, you know, narratives and remembrances and analysis and, you know, and judgments. And all of that is okay too, because I think that also allows us to get under the bonnet of things and to discuss and really get a feel for the dynamic of why war was made and how peace can happen. You know, why partition happened and how unity can take its place. So it's a very profound thing, you know, and I know when certainly in this jurisdiction, they talk about, you know, the decade of commemoration and commemorative events. And sometimes you get the feeling, and I hope I'm not being unfair, but I get the feeling sometimes it's a bit pro forma on the part of the state. It's, you know, giving the nod, box ticked to the past. But you know, I think in real terms, for most people, or certainly for a lot of people, the act of remembrance is something much more profound than that. And just bear in mind that, as I say, 40 years is an a moment away in historical times. And to really make progress in Ireland and to be effective, you have to understand where you came from. You actually have to understand the story of your place and of your people. And when I say that, I mean all of us. As Republicans, we need to know our story, as nationalists, as progressives. But we also have to have an insight into the other, because that's how we can be really, really powerful, when we open our minds to understanding all of that. And Bobby Sands wrote and said many, many profound things. But the one that I always hold on to is where he says, our revenge will be the laughter of our children. So in other words, there is no revenge. There is no vengeance. There is no politics of settling scores or even pointing fingers or even the politics of blame. Only the politics of liberation. And to understand the hunger strike, to understand Sands and his comrades, allows you to really internalize that politics of liberation beyond blame, beyond rancor, beyond finger pointing, and certainly with no taste or hint of revenge. That's powerful stuff. I sometimes think to myself, if from the vantage point now, 40 years on, if I could write a letter to 12-year-old me and could set out to a 12-year-old at that time all of the things that were going to happen, all of the things that were going to change, all of the advances that were going to be, the victories that would be won, the challenges as well, and that I would be part of that. I don't know how the 12-year-old child would have read that or believed that or had a sense of it. You know, it's so much has happened in those four decades that it's hard to imagine how you would communicate that back in the passage of time. But I also know this, when I look to younger people, I look at, as I say, to my own children, and their sense of where we're at and their sense of where we need to go, and younger people more generally, and how they relate to Bobby and the other lads who were very young, very, very young men, all of them, when they died. And I think there is a real sense in which younger people perhaps have the most to gain, the most to learn, but perhaps also the most honest and direct reflections on who the hunger strikers were. You know, kids who weren't born, many folk, there weren't a thought of, there weren't a twinkle in their mammy's or their daddy's eye when all of this was going on. And yet there's an immediacy in it, in the here and now, as to what happened. I mean, it's a very, very powerful thing. And I think the challenge for us, we need to harness that now, almost to fuel the journey ahead. Because one thing is for sure, all of us involved in struggle, whatever part we play, do it to create something well beyond ourselves. The very essence of struggle is to sublimate, to dedicate yourself to something far greater and beyond yourself. And certainly the hunger strikers are the strongest emblem of that sense of sacrifice. And I think what that does, and what remembrance and commemoration and really connecting with that story does, is it drives the idealistic core that is necessary to sustain struggle and to sustain activists in what is now an incredible time that we are living through. I mean, it's 40 years later, and make no mistake, we are living through now, the months and the years in which we will finish the journey and we will end and transition from a partitioned Ireland to a united Ireland. Of that, I am absolutely sure. I'm absolutely confident of that fact. So when we're looking back to 40 years ago and commemorating and remembering the 10 lads and the struggle, the prison struggles in their totality, we're doing it at a time where we're writing history again. And there's something, isn't there, really powerful about connecting that those passages of history together. And I think it's a great time to be a Republican activist. I think it's a great time to be a young Republican activist. God, I wish, you know, to be an Ogra or to be, you know, a young activist out on the ground and to see that potential and to draw your inspiration from Bobby and from all of the 10 lads and what they represented and what they gave themselves to and for. I mean, it's fairly heady stuff, and you need that, you know, in the what can sometimes be a very humdrum and testing process of political change, because, you know, they say the saying goes about politics that you campaign in poetry and you govern in prose. Well, I think it's fair to say that we, you know, that we inspire and we rebel in poetry, but you stage a revolution in prose, and it can be very, very humdrum. But nonetheless, when you take the space and when we cast our mind and our thought to that bigger ideal, and we remember, and when we have icons like the hunger strikers to sustain us, that's what drives us on, and that's what keeps the momentum going. So these commemorative events and podcasts and conversations, every conversation that happens in this 40th year of commemoration that reflects and tells yarns and stories and recollections of newspaper articles or what you saw on the telly or what your granny or your neighbor or, you know, had to say about things and how it felt at that time. All of that is the stuff that actually not alone keeps memory alive, but that's the stuff that builds the future, because we're not finished our story. We have not finished and concluded our story for freedom and for ending partition, but we will. And when we do, Bobby Sands, all of the hunger strikers, all of our Patriot dead will be with us on that certain day.